session number 27774, Mr. Ilya Suster, Reel 4. Now, what happened after you'd been ill? You're in Hons Hospital.
After I will, you see, I lost all my equipment, everything. You know, I didn't have anything at all, no money, nothing. Then, after about this. Oh, yes. I had a 7 days leave to go anywhere you want. Down there, yeah. There was nowhere much to go. So I was sunbathing a bit, and then I had to report to a division, and that was the desert, right? That was the 7th Armored. They were regrouping and going. They were regrouping in home, in near Homs, that's near Tripoli.
Now, were you joining 503 Company again, or did you join someone else at this point?
Well, I joined a different company, 7th Armored Division, and that was the 131 Brigade, and that is the Desert Rats.
So, but what was the RE unit you were in called?
503.
So you were back to your old unit?
I wasn't, no. 503, I was in Egypt, the long journey, that was 503.
Yeah, but you just said it was 503 with 131 Brigade.
No, well. No. Hold on. No, 131 Brigade is the 7th Armoured Division.
Yes, but it's not a Royal Engineer Unit, 131 Brigade. It's a brigade. You must have been in something else in it.
Oh, yes, there was RE unit, yeah.
You don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Well, I was 7th Armoured Division, 131 Brigade, and I was in an RE unit there.
But you don't know which one.
Oh, I must know. Let me that memory, I must know. I only knew. I was in the RE unit, right?
So, okay, that's all right.
So, but you see, they actually, they were reinforced. So Rommel was, so I never saw action in Alamein, you see. But then...
You joined after that?
Yes. And we had... not patrols, we had very little training there. They were all resting, and then the news came through that we have to practice waterproofing our cars for the invasion of Italy. So I had that car, and shortly afterwards...
Now, how did you waterproof the Continental Armoured Car?
You had to seal the car, the undercarriage somehow. I don't quite remember that.
So what do you remember next then? What happened next?
Very shortly afterwards, we had orders to go to a port, the port, that from Homs, short while, and onto a boat, a landing craft, you know. I don't remember how it's called. And then we sailed off to Salerno.
So
I landed. I was very lucky because we were... You see, the 7th Armored Division was already there in reserve because they had very heavy losses in Africa. And they had to regroup and they were waiting for reinforcements. So more or less, you know, to get fresh. But... That's why they were not the first, and we were not the last. But I was very lucky because I brought my Continental. I was on the right flank. The heavy fighting, you know, was in the middle in Salerno, what everybody knows, because there was treason. Yeah. And I landed there, started getting straight into a little forest. I remember so well because there was also the terrible danger of mosquitoes. You know, that was the danger.
Now, were you very aware of the danger of malaria?
No, but we saw it when some of our boys collapsed when they didn't take the malaria pill. You had to parade afterwards and swallow it with a glass of water, and the sergeant major was controlling it because some said they wouldn't take the pill. You know, stupid, yeah?
And this was it quinine or mepocrine?
I think it was quinine, yeah. Or metotrine, yeah.
Mepocrine?
I think that was that. It's a yellow pill it was.
Wait, one of them, but you took yours, of course.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. But we had already after
four seasons.
Four days.
Am I interrupted?
Yes. But so there, I must say, that position afterwards was very heavy going, because we started to advance very, very slowly. Weather was bad. Many malaria started, just collapsed in front of you, and had to go, of course, to hospital.
And that was happening to quite a few people.
Yes. I remember two of my friends with whom I was in a tent. One evening, suddenly, they said, we don't feel very well, and temperature, and hospital. Yeah.
And what about the advance? What do you remember of what was happening? What were you doing? What were you know with your armoured
car? Well, we were driving. Sometimes they were saying that repairing roads, also, and then this occasion is strange enough. There were some mines sown by the Germans. They had to pick the mines. They had to bring them to this field. They had to clear the mine. Mainly, they were German teller mines.
Now, who was doing that? You weren't doing
it. No, I wasn't doing it, but I had to bring them to the place. This is the four engineers who were in my car. They were doing it.
And they were doing it as you described?
Yes.
Were they teller mines,
of them? They were mainly German teller mines. Yeah. I think they were already with booby traps. With booby traps, they knew it.
Yeah. So they knew how to deal with it?
Yes, they knew.
But you didn't?
No.
And there was no accident or anything untoward?
No. What I remember is only that. Just a minute. Yeah. So I tell you, this action is we advanced very slowly and reached the Royal Engineers, reached the river, the Volturno. And they had their job was to build a bridge. Now, of course, not only those four, the engineers came from all units together to do the bridge.
Now, tell me as much as you can about what type of bridge. Was this Bailey Bridge? Or?
Yes, Bailey Bridge. It was the Bailey Bridge. So I had also some equipment off the Bailey Bridge I had to bring to this bridge. When they started building, tremendous, the Germans noticed it and started machine gun fire, and mainly also, what was it?
Mortar fire,
that was mainly. And we came under that, and the boys, actually, it's like desertion. Our sergeant was not very experienced. He should have withdrawn. We all withdrew and stopped building the bridge. When it started getting darker, we came back. I had to bring the boys back and landed them and took my armored car behind a house. And there was a little, not a village, but a few houses there. And that I remember, it was still artillery fire everywhere. And I was so tired that when I was in that house, there were children screaming and shouting Italians, you know, and mother screaming and all that. And I picked a room, took my blanket and this, and fell asleep. The car was safe. And I remember when I woke up in the morning, it was full of smoke, and two or three houses have been hit by direct hits, and nothing happened. Well, that was one incident. So the bridge was built, and then the traffic started to go over it. Yeah? We didn't advance afterwards. So that is that. Well, there was another incident when the next morning or late on, we had to repair some road for the tanks to come in. They had some wiring structure. You know, you put wire there in order to not to get stuck in the sand.
So a sort of wire road.
That is correct, yeah. And there, as he landed, I wanted only to say that, there was again one or two shots fired. Now these my friends there, they were experienced desert rat. When they heard one shot, they immediately went in this slit trench or whatever they had. Yeah? I was very ignorant, you know. When I heard, saw the fire, I went to my car, left, right, left, like this, quietly took the car and put it behind the wall, which was wall. So one said, look at Ill going there. He said, Ill, bloody fool, he thinks he's Jesus Christ. You see, just this experience. From then onward, when I heard also one shot, I also went into hiding. Yeah? Yes, I thought that's a good story. Yeah?
Anything else from that time?
Well, then we advanced a bit and reached the next river, the Garigliano, and there was a halt. There we were stuck because I don't know what happened. We couldn't advance.
That would be in, well, the Monte
Cassino
battles.
That was December. That was December because. Oh, what am I talking about? Do you know? No. What, in the meantime? Oh, wait a moment. I must tell you. Then suddenly, because they had on record there in our brigade, when we were in Holmes, they asked me where I was, the officers, yeah, the intelligence, whether I spoke any languages.
Now, this is right back in Holmes.
That is, well, yes, I just wanted, I forgot to tell you that.
Now, tell me about what
they, because I said that I could speak Russian and German and all this. So then a message came through, I was driving, to report to brigade headquarters. I should report to the intelligence officer, which was a captain of intelligence in the 7th Armored Division. And I even remember his name, Captain Lindsay was it. He's mentioned here in this book. He interviewed me, yeah, down there, and said that I speak better German than he ever could, and said that I should report to brigade headquarters, under brigadier and all this. And there I was sitting there doing nothing because. For prisoners, yeah, we had no prisoners. You know, so I studied military history, you know, they gave me the books and the German army and all this. That's all I did then.
Now, what were you studying? Just explain what. No. I mean, I can see, but can you just tell them? Why were you doing it?
Because they said that I would be very suitable later on for the job they wanted to give me, yeah? Because
why were you studying German military history? Just explain for them.
They had books where they had, say 15 Grenadier Battalion, something like that, and who was leading, they had information on the German army, a lot. And I studied this, and then as I spoke German, I thought that they thought I'm suitable for a job. So when, of course, it didn't last long because we got orders suddenly there to return to England, because in America some other units would take over. So we had to leave all our equipment, the car, everything there, and I had to leave my intelligence job there to go back to my unit. And we were packing up to go back to England.
So this would be when? February 44?
December. I remember exactly what it was. It was 24th of December, 1943. We went onto a boat from Naples, sailing back to England. And that was one of the worst journeys I ever had because they had hardly any food there because of U-boats. I think they couldn't land somewhere, so they were very badly equipped with food. But eventually we landed somewhere in England, and probably not Glasgow, somewhere here in the invasion port. Yeah. Then in England, oh, all right. In England, we went to from there into a camp.
Do you know where it was?
Oh, again, we went. Yes, was it Brandon? Oh, Thetford. Yeah, Brandon in on Thetford. That is in here near Newmarket down there. You don't know it?
No, I thought Thetford was in Suffolk.
It is, yes. Thetford in Newmarket is also there. So in any case, there was training, reassembling on, and I had again, I had again that armored car, you know, the same, a Continental.
You still don't know what your unit was. It's just an engineer unit.
Oh God, that is unbelievable.
It's all right.
All I know is 131 Brigade, 7th Armored Division.
So it was engineers attached to them. That's all right. So what kind of thing were you doing at Brandon?
Actually, very little. There was there was again waterproofing. That had to be done. But there we had somebody who is experts doing it, doing waterproof. And I had to, supervise my car, just keep it. Maintenance, all the time maintenance, and otherwise very easy going. We got leave, we could go more or less very, very often to London if we wanted to, and it was very easy going. And then, of course, in June, was the invasion, so we travelled from...
So you stayed at Brandon until then?
We stayed until... So we went... The invasion was 6th of June. I think it was the 4th of June. 3rd or 4th of June. And then we travelled to a port, some port here. One of the ports we had to embark. And we travelled there just... We went off in the boat, and we still didn't know where we were going.
What kind of boat was it? What do you remember of the embarkation?
That was an ordinary small ship, that was, because we then embarked. I do know I landed again on the beach. But there was hardly any water, so I didn't. Had I had not waterproofing, it wouldn't have done much harm. And very, very lucky. But we did not land. You see, when Montgomery made the speech to us, he said, "You won't be the first, but you won't be the last to brigade." Yeah.
Just like at Salerno, then. Hmm? That's what he said before Salerno. He said.
No, Montgomery, I didn't see in Salerno. I'm talking in England now.
When it's just that's what you said he said before Salerno.
Well, that was my luck because I was there. So it was similar there. But here it was D plus 4. The fighting was almost over. You know, they had already advanced.
And where did you land in Normandy?
In Normandy, it was very near. It was in the wilderness. Down there, in between car in the wilderness.
And what was the scene when you landed?
A big man.
What was happening when you landed?
Nothing. It was quiet, and then we went all over. That was southern Italy, so there was again this.
Normandy.
Normandy. Yes, the first few days we're travelling just in the neighbourhood of Bayeux, and after 3 or 4 days, I was recalled to brigade and had to join the headquarters of the 7th Armoured of the 131 Brigade.
Now, that's as an interpreter.
Yes, they said mainly interrogator as well. It's an interrogator and interpreter, because I already then started to interrogate on my own already when they knew job. I have got even that little book still, the last days of our journey into Hamburg, of every day whom I interrogated.
But that's much later. That's
yeah. That is much later.
So you were recalled as I'm surprised you hadn't actually done any interrogation when you were recalled, because you hadn't done any in Italy. You said
only two or three small. That was unimportant. That was all.
Now, so you were an interrogator interpreter at the headquarters of 131 Brigade.
That is correct.
That's where and that's the end of your connection with the RE unit, is it?
Yes, that is the end.
Now, what was the setup of the headquarters? Who was there? What do you remember of the headquarters?
They were all there. There was the set. Was the headquarters where called as it was full action war. They were all living. The officer, the brigadier, was living in a caravan. The senior officers had also cars, but they all in tents.
And do you remember any particular characters from the headquarters?
Yes, just a moment. Well, I remember, of course, the same man that was Captain Mitchell, who's here. He was.
No, you haven't mentioned him before. You mentioned the Lindsay.
Lindsay was divisional headquarters. We are now in brigade headquarters. You see, here was surrender of Hamburg. That was the Captain Mitchell here.
Who is Captain?
That was my boss there. He was the intelligence officer.
What did you think of him? What was his first? Do you know his first name or?
No, it's Christian. I don't know Captain Mitchell.
What was he like as intelligence officer?
Well, first of all, he welcomed me with open arms because he didn't speak a word of German, and I must say he was very, very nice to me, and but I couldn't get on with a sergeant.
What was his name?
Sergeant Kendall. She laughed because he was here after the war, Sergeant Kendall.
Now, why didn't you like Sergeant Kendall?
Well, Sergeant Kendall didn't like me, and then he resented the attitude. Sergeant Kendall was a professional soldier, yeah, and of course the attitude, it was like a boss and with officers, you know, a distance there, but with me they. After a few weeks, although they called me Ilya, yeah, you see that the difference, yeah. Captain Mitchell called me Ilya. Yeah.
So he was part just jealous. I mean, did he take out his jealousy on you?
Well, he was awkward, you know. He's awkward and didn't, really jealous. That is what it was. Then he had a corporal, was a very, very nice. I've got also his photo, but I don't remember.
You don't remember his name?
No, not quite. A corporal and a lance corporal. They were all in the caravan.
And you were a private or a driver? Were you a lance corporal by then?
Yeah. So often.
You were a lance corporal?
Yes.
They can't see it when you make a gesture.
No, I see it, yes. But what was, you see, after the Normandy campaign, when the Normandy...
Hang on, well, what were you doing during the Normandy campaign?
Oh, yes, I was always... there were prisoners coming in, not many, so I had to interrogate them.
Tell me about a typical interrogation of that period. How would you do it?
I tell you the typical interrogation, and I remember the first prisoner who was brought in was on a motorcycle, a corporal of the famous, he was a dispatch rider belonging to the Panzerlehr, one of the most famous German divisions. And he was a dispatch rider. He took the wrong turning and our Queens captured him. And he was brought into me. That was for me the first and almost the most important one. Now, at that time, we were in tents in Normandy, and I received him behind the tent with Captain Mitchell. and ask him the first question. I ask him, what is unit? His Soldbuch, that is his pay book.
Now, did you, you decide what to ask him, or did Mitchell say, ask him what's his unit? Or did you decide
no,
what
did
to ask
him? Mitchell told me that beforehand, what to ask and how to
so
handle.
So he briefed you beforehand?
Yeah, yeah, shortly briefed.
But he didn't sort of sit in next to you saying...
No, we were standing, all standing.
But he didn't say, ask him what his unit is?
No, you know, no. I knew exactly what to ask.
So you asked him what his unit was. How did he reply?
He said... I can't tell you, but I said to him, but then unit is not in your Soldbuch, yeah? So, and then he said, according to the Geneva Convention, something German, I didn't take much notice. And I said, I said, we know, I think I saw, he had documents on, I know it was Panzerlehr. So the next question I said, who is your commander? He said, that I'm not going to tell you. And I said to him, yes, we know who it is. It is Major General Beierlein. And he was completely stunned. He said, why do you ask me? You know more than I do. Yeah. So that is all. So we knew then only that they were coming forward. Do you see? And then we was dismissed.
He didn't tell you anything else, sir?
No, I didn't ask anymore. I said, why? How is it that you have been captured? He said, I must tell you, I took the wrong turning and they grabbed me. Yeah?
What was his attitude to you? Was he unfriendly or friendly? did he know you were Latvian?
No, he didn't.
He thought you were German?
No, English.
He thought you were just English?
Yes, of course.
And do you feel you'd done a good job of interrogating him?
Pardon?
Had you done a good job of it then? It was important. It was your first one. Had you done a good
job?
That
was very important. And Captain Mitchell immediately informed the staff, and then they must have formed immediately division to say that Panzerlehr is coming up. You know? And we had heavy losses afterwards. Our tanks couldn't cope with them. And we had, at Villas Bocage, a heavy defeat there. I think they knocked out 7 tanks.
And you'd identified this unit by the document, because you could read the documents he had.
Yes.
And then you confirmed it by his reaction when you told him what the general was.
I didn't ask him anymore because Mitchell thought it was very, very urgent. We needed to give it to brigade, yeah?